Gary Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Gary and Tommy.
Yes, it is. Welcome to Wednesday, everyone. How are we, guys?
I've got some stuff going on. So I've been better.
Have you got? Is it because of that shirt you're wearing?
What am I sure?
Do you know, I give you so much hassle because all you ever wear is plain black T-shirts. And you've now veered into, what would you call
printed
it?
Printed tea.
Printed tea. And it's so terrible that you need to go back to plain black T-shirts.
Should I turn it inside out?
Definitely.
So it's plain black?
It's also like promo. It's a promo T-shirt.
No, it's not.
It is. Is that a promo? Did you get that for free?
No. I actually didn't.
Is that a club T-shirt? I feel like it's club wear.
No,
like from a footy club.
No, it's like a retro footy T-shirt.
Mm.
Yeah. it's unfair when the woman in a tie-dye tracksuit gives you crap and she's right.
I'm cool, mate.
I said you're right. You missed the last words. I said you were right.
You're not meaning that, though. I went in to buy my son an outfit from a teenager store, and I walked out wearing a teenager outfit.
It's where you buy them. Didn't you know where you get them?
I'm in a full tie-dye tracksuit, head to toe.
Yeah, I think it's great, though.
Something a teenager would wear. Yeah. Do you know skinny jeans?
Oh,
they're out now.
Are we
now.
Really talking about clothes?
Yeah, they're actually out. Apparently, no, we should not be wearing skinny jeans anymore. It's all about the straight leg pant.
Are we doing a compare to pair on our Instagram page of your outfits today? Is that what's happening?
I think this show does enough visual content.
Carrie Tommy show.
All of it. Everything we do is visual.
Mm. Up next, what's happening?
I was hoping to show you a few pictures and see what you thought. No, I had my medical for my pilot's test.
Oh, is that why you're down? Oh, my God, all this effort and you're not going to be able to fly a plane.
I'll do it next. Oh, it's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
The Wednesday arvo, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Big day in the aviation world today, Bickers.
You went for your medical.
Yes.
How long have you been learning to fly now?
6 months.
It's a big investment. It's the longest you've stuck at anything, really, other than this show.
It's one of my longer relationships, that's for sure. And this morning, 8:15, I turned up at
8:15.
Yeah.
Oh, you turned up.
Yes, I was there early. And the first thing they said to me, they said, "Have you completed your forms?" And I said, "No."
Oh, God.
What forms?
Because you've got people that normally do that for you.
I do.
It's, yeah.
His mum.
They're in the office.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, mum doesn't do that stuff. No, to be fair to me, I'd rang yesterday.
Mum doesn't do that stuff. Your mum still pays some of your bills.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not weird that Jessie would say your mum does that stuff.
No, I know, but that's why I specified.
She does the financial sort of paperwork, not the medical paperwork.
Oh, sorry.
If there was more money involved, mum would have been all over it. No, to be fair, they'd said I needed these forms. I couldn't find them online, so I rang them yesterday. And Sonda was here with me in the office, and they said, "No, you don't need them." And then I rock up today. They said, "You do." I know, already on the wrong foot. And the doctor said, "It's fine." I had to pee in a cup, and that actually didn't even go to the doctor that I saw. So thinking back on it now, I don't know why that woman was collecting.
Did you go to
stuff.
The right place?
I don't know. And when I came in, it said the doctor you were seeing, and it said practice nurse one. I think I was like, okay, great. And so then the doc helped me, and we filled out all the forms.
You had to pee in a cup.
I had to pee in a cup.
Interesting time to be peeing in a cup.
Mm. Why? An interesting time.
No, just how did that? What? How did those results go?
Yeah, she said I got most of it in. I said, "Thank you, Margaret. I don't know why you had to come in the store with me, but anyway, here we are.
Go and wash your hands, Margaret."
And then there was one bit of this that I was dreading, and I was hoping it didn't come up.
Mm.
They're asking all the standard questions, and I'm saying what you do in every medical, which is no to everything, right? Regardless of anything that's happened in your life, say no to everything.
That's not a blanket rule of advice.
It is. Never be too honest with a doctor. And so then it got to my eye test, and I thought, okay, this will be fine. This will be fine. Tommy, don't panic.
Oh, you weren't going to lie, were you?
What do you mean? You can't lie with the eye test. That's why it's a prick of a thing. So,
you didn't just have to say, "Can you see?"
Imagine if that was the test.
Yes.
Can you see?
Uh-huh. No.
Can you? Hang on. I can't believe I haven't asked this before. Can you fly a plane? Yes. Well, here's your license. I'm so sorry. We've been wasting your time with these pesky lessons. And he said, okay, it's time to do the eye test. And I went, okay. Blood pressure being taken, all that was fine. And I did the eye test, the distance. fine. Cover one eye, fine. Other eye, fine. I even got a bit cocky about it, hoping they'd be so impressed with that he wouldn't go to the next inevitable thing. And I said, I can even give you the bottom eye. I did that. And then he sat down and he opened his desk drawer. And I thought, oh, I know what's coming out of here. Aww. And he pulled out a thick little fat book that said, like, colour something. I didn't even get the name. And I'm like,
suddenly the eyes weren't working so well.
And the words on that book were in different colours. And he opened the first one and I looked at it and he said, just tell me, very casual, and I haven't said there's anything wrong here. And he said, just tell me what number you see in that circle. And I said, 4, and he marked down on his piece of paper. He marked down, looked at the number of the puzzle, marked it down. I was like, oh, okay, I think I'm going all right. Because these ones I could see like a faint something, and then I went 1, and he wrote down another number. And then I went to the next page, and I couldn't see anything. And I thought, I'll just guess. You're better off just guessing than not at all, because if I not at all, I fail anyway. So I might as well just guess. And he kept marking down numbers, right? I did 20 of these, and he goes, yeah, so you're colourblind. And I said, damn it, I knew that.
What a waste of the poor guy's time.
But I said,
you were never going to be able to dupe the system.
A waste of his time. He's doing medicals.
Yeah, but you should have just said before he did the 20 numbers with you, mate, I'm colourblind.
Why?
Well, to save him the time, the theatrics of the whole thing.
What if he guessed consecutively 20 in a row?
He was never going to.
But so he said this. He goes, for someone who's colourblind, you're actually quite remarkable. And I said, why? And he said, because you got all 20 wrong.
I thought you were going to say right, and I was going, wrong. Yeah. Wow. And so what happens?
I said, is this a problem? Mm. And he said, yep.
Yeah, because you need to be able to see when you're flicking the things in the plane, what colour they are, and like the lights and the...
And then I said, is there anything more I can do? And he said, hang on, I'll call CASA, who are the
Civil Aviation Safety Authority.
Yes. Damn, that's one of my questions on the test I also got wrong. And he rang them, and I could only obviously hear his end of the conversation. And he said, yeah, okay, and can I book in for this test? Yeah, okay. He called me a pilot as well. He said, I've got a pilot here. And I was like, this is pretty good, considering I'm the most colorblind man in the world. And he hung up the phone, and I said, how's that? And he goes, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to have to put that there's a reason I would doubt you having your license on the license. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, well, it means you have a restriction on your license that you definitely can't fly at night unless you get this further testing. I said, sorry? And he goes, you just won't be able to fly at night unless you get further testing. And I'm like, so I can fly? And he goes, yep, that's
during
fine.
During the day.
And I was like, yeah!
Wants to fly at night anyway. That's when the partying happens.
Yes.
Fly by day, party by night.
That's what we say. Or if they ask you on the medical, never party, never have.
That's awesome. Yes. So you passed it.
Right. Well, for day. I don't know. Yes. They've still got to approve it. But yes, as far as he's concerned.
Civil Aviation Safety Authority.
Yes. But I thought maybe people aren't so lucky because I've had it ruin other jobs for me. And on 13 10 60, I thought we could do this.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
Colour!
Such a good tune.
Colourblind people, I know you've been ignored for too long on this show. Pick up the phone and give us a call. I'd love to hear what it has affected in your life. It doesn't have to be jobs. It could be personal stuff. Give us a call. 13 10 60. Colourblind people, call us.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Wednesday afternoon. And on 13 10 60, what did your colourblindness stop you from getting?
Yes, I had a medical this morning and I got told I was remarkable for just how colourblind I was.
A medical, we should point out, for you to become a pilot.
Yes, which despite that, I've been told I will still be able to fly during the day and get further testing even if I wanted to fly.
And you made a little opener, which I liked, which was blinded, colour-blinded by the lights. Mm. But I thought a bit more contemporary one might work. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I had a go.
Okay.
Good, isn't it?
That's real good. Jesse, you had a got one as well, didn't you?
Yeah, this is mine.
Colour!
It's not fair that you guys got first dibs on the songs.
Yeah.
Yours is a bit of a stretch.
It's real hard when you've got to go through the rest. Yeah. Anyway. G'day, Ashley.
G'day, how you going?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. We were discussing this as well off air. I don't think women can be colorblind. So actually, I'm guessing it's not you.
No, it's my husband.
Okay. And what? Tell us about him.
So we've been together since high school. Mm-hmm. He was training through high school and got into ADFA, into the fighter pilot. He got into the fighter pilot program. Got down to Canberra to find out that he was colorblind and got kicked out.
Oh, Ashley.
Yes, but the butt of the joke now for the entire family is that he is now an electrician.
Which, Ashley, I got told this morning I could never be.
Yes, yes. So he is pretty bad. He's probably bad at Tommy. I think he fails every single time. But it's hilarious.
So do you want to give out his name so I know never to ask him to come around and fix something?
Good on you, Ash. Thanks for getting involved. Let's go to Yvette. G'day, Yvette.
Hey, how are you going, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks, mate. Who's colourblind in your world?
So both my boys and my father was, because they say it's the father and the daughter gets the gene and gives it to her son. So my father was and both my boys are.
Yes.
But the funny thing is my youngest son is a graphic designer and illustrator.
Oh, what a mess.
Yes.
Lots of brown logos getting handed in?
No, green. Green. Oh. The green is the problem. And he's quite often has to draw people. And he says, you know, my boss says, oh, it looks great, but can we do something with the green hair? And he says, you know, and he said, I'll change it and it'll still be green. And they'll go, yeah, mate, yeah, good. And he'll have to walk around the office and say, hey, can you show me what colour to use on the computer for, you know, for brown or for grey or whatever.
So can he say he's colourblind? He doesn't want to.
They know it, but I don't think they really understand how bad it is.
And also, I bet it's tricky to understand. Like I often say to Tommy, oh, but you couldn't see that colour. And the thing is, he tries to explain to me he can see colours. It's just how he sees colours is different to how I see colours. Is that right? Or have I still confused it? Okay, I've still confused it.
Yvette, I just constantly get pieces of fruit held up to me by my teammates here and they say, what's that? What colour's that?
Yeah, is it right? But it's interesting, when my oldest boy was young and we had, you know those lollies that have like the foil wrap around it, like the toffee with the foil?
Yeah.
And we had three on the table that were all green and he could see two were green, but one he said was silver. And they were exactly the same colour to me. So it's really quite bizarre what you can see and what you can't see.
Wow. Thanks, Yvette. That's great. Who have you got next?
Sandra.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, good. So I'm a girl who is colourblind.
Oh, you said girls can be. Right.
Is it super rare? Is it super rare, Sandra?
Yeah, so what I am is different. So my blue and oranges, I can't tell the difference. And then it kind of affects other colours slightly.
Okay. So does it affect you in your work at all?
Yes, because I'm a dental nurse, and when we do root canal procedures, the dentist will often say, oh, can you get me the red tip? And I will look at them like, sure. And give them, obviously, the wrong one.
So then what happens with the root canal?
Yeah, you're like, this person's not bleeding at all, but they're leaking blue juice everywhere.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Across the country for your Wednesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
This is exciting because
who would have thunk?
I mean, I would have, but
thunk. Who would have thought?
Is it the same when people say, oh, did you not pronunciate that right?
Oh.
Same with people when people say hump day?
Yeah. Oh. Anyway,
they're all you, Jesse. All of those people are you.
Oh, I have never said any of those things.
You have said hump day.
I actually realised. Sorry, mate. That was really unfair to you. That was lingering anger from our old anchor, the person who
It wasn't anger.
At Buzz, yes, it was.
It wasn't anger. You just didn't like how he said hump day.
I hated it.
But he never said thunk or pronunciate.
Yes, he did. He was just trying to say think and pronunciate. Anyway, let's do this.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
And the prize jackpots weekly. This week, the jackpot is up to
$2,500.
I wonder what that amount would be in French.
Well, $2,500.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
131060, give us a call if you want to win some sweet cash.
We'll do it next. It's Carrie and Tommy for your Wednesday, Arvo.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for your Wednesday afternoon, and it is time for this.
Time, time, full mind. Banana, banana, full fine. Fee, fine, full mind. Time game. Carrie and Tommy's time game.
2,500 smackaroos. Kelly, how does that sound?
Really good.
Yeah, all you got to do is say stop when you think exactly 5 seconds is up and the cash is yours. Listen carefully because, Jesse, it is over to you.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh, Kel. Ooh. What do you reckon, Biggie?
I good? Think in the fours.
Okay, I reckon it's pretty close.
4.7.
Oh, no.
Not bad, though, Kel.
Donna, you ready to have a crack?
Hello.
You ready to have a crack, Donna?
I am. Right. Hi, Carrie. You have the best laugh ever. I have to say that.
Oh, thanks, Donna.
I love your laugh is the best.
Well, take this out, hey? And we can all have a laugh together.
Yes, I will. Okay.
All right.
I'd love to.
Start.
Stop.
I think in the fours again. Donna, it felt a bit short. Jesse?
4.7.
Oh, again.
Exactly. Jesse, did you forget to start the stopwatch?
No, it did feel the same. I felt like it was the same. Yes.
So, Alex, you know what you've got to do? Just imagine 0.3 of a second on top of that.
No worries.
Okay, so it's pretty easy. Just recall exactly how long they did. Then add 0.3 of a second.
You're making it harder. You just got to count the five ash in your head. Are you ready to go?
It's Alex.
Yep, no worries.
Oh, Alex, sorry.
All right.
God, can't wait till we do the reading game next.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh.
I don't reckon you added the 0.3.
I think he did. I reckon it was over five.
I couldn't have explained it more.
No, I think he did.
5.3.
That's what I said. He added the 0.6. Good on you, Alex.
Now is it time for Ash?
Yes, Alex.
Are you ready to play, Ash?
Yes.
Okay, Jesse, take
just
it.
Remember
away.
So they listen to the last one, subtract 0.3, and then you're on.
Okay.
Start.
Stop.
That felt good, Ash.
Felt real good.
Felt real good.
And it's rocked the socks of our anchor, Jesse, here, which can mean one of two things. It can mean you're very close, or once again, it can mean he forgot to push start.
4.51.
Oh. Okay, let's do one more. One more. Okay. Janine. Janine, are you ready to play?
I am, yes.
Do you know what's great about Janine's name?
What?
Six letters. But, of course, if you take out five letters. So just 1 second for each letter, Janine, or as I call you, Jenny. Over to you, Jesse. Also,
start.
Stop.
See ya.
Janine's too busy trying to work out what the hell you were talking about before.
I think we've gone a bit long. I don't think you took out the I there.
6.26.
She's just doing the letters in her name. Six. Yeah, see? Okay. She knew it.
$2,600 next week. Carrie and Tommy. Across the country for your drive home, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Huge day for the United States and for the whole world, really, with the news that Derek Chauvin, the former police officer charged with the murder and manslaughter of George Floyd, he has been found guilty on all three counts. There are celebrations in the States. It wasn't necessarily the result that everyone was thinking was going to happen. There's huge relief amongst the entire American community. And I'm sure for one man who joins us now on the phone, contributor to CBS Radio, Michael Williams. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Michael, we've spoken to you many times on the project about this story, and you are always incredibly emotional when we talk about it. Just how significant is the day there today for you personally and for Americans?
Well, in American history, if you look at it from that way, in that broad perspective, I think that this is one of the two most significant civil rights moments of the 21st century, the first being the election of Barack Obama as the first black president. That showed that there was a willingness to accept people, exceptional black people, in positions of authority. This is something completely different. It says that just, you don't have to be exceptional to get justice. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be a Harvard graduate to get justice. It's a huge moment in the arc of civil rights, which is still looking for a resolution. For me, a lot of people around me cried and yelled and had a sense of jubilation. I had an appreciation for this day, but I don't see it as a day for celebration. It was more reflective for me. I felt like that it's good to see the justice, but it still remains so sad that it took so much to get just to this one moment.
Michael, I don't know if I was unnecessarily pessimistic, but I was surprised that this was the outcome. There are 2 months before sentencing happened. Is there room for appeal before then? What is the initial next step?
No, there's no room for appeal before that. There will be a sentencing. But it seemed to me as though the defense was kind of angling for a mistrial as their best case outcome throughout the trial. They moved several times for a mistrial. The judge made an opening for comments by a U.S. Congresswoman, Maxine Waters, that there would possibly be grounds for a mistrial. So certainly there will, and for an appeal. So I think almost certainly there will be an appeal, but there will be a sentencing first for this now convicted criminal.
It was extraordinary watching Derek sitting there. I was watching with my son this morning, and he kept saying he almost didn't realize that was the man in the center of all this, because he was showing zero emotion, zero reaction to the verdict. And he kept saying, why is he not reacting, Mum? And I said, that's one of the things that's been hardest for people watching on.
It seems as though that is the ethos and the pathos of one Derek Chauvin. And if nothing else, he's consistent. And I don't know if and when that dam will break and some emotion and some realization of what he has done and what is about to happen to him will come. Maybe it'll be at sentencing, because as the trial was televised, I'm quite sure that the sentencing will be televised too. So perhaps we'll see a semblance of human emotion there. But the what we saw in the courtroom today was pretty much par for the course for that man.
Who have we heard from since? Have we heard from your new president? Have we heard from George Floyd's family?
We have heard from the family, who are, of course, jubilant because they felt they have justice. And I will say, I said earlier that it's not a time for celebration. I absolve that decree from the Floyd family. I think that they can certainly celebrate justice being done for the tragic loss of a family member. They can celebrate. And they were jubilant, and they were hopeful. They felt that their loved one has not died in vain. And if he can be a beacon towards other young black men not having to die, then maybe the sacrifice is worthwhile. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, the vice president, both spoke eloquently and very emotionally about this being a first step, about this being a beginning and not an ending. And there's so much work to be done.
Michael, thankfully, we are seeing some justice here. What do you think would have happened if this decision went the other way?
There were preparations being made for what the eventualities would have been had we seen a not guilty verdict. And I think there would have been. The reaction would have been there from people who were protesting and people who were just sort of piggybacking on that emotion to take care of some other selfish motives that they may have had. We've seen that over the course of the past year. So I think there isn't much question that it would have been there. And this is where our leaders can't say things like fight and confront and do these sorts of things. Words matter. We saw that on January 6th, and we see it every single day. So going forward, we have to direct our emotion, direct these feelings of frustration, of anger even, towards positive outcomes. Destruction doesn't get it. It's construction. Constructing a better America is where we need to go.
Michael, just before we let you go, you mentioned they're moving forward. Mr. Floyd's brother spoke already. He told reporters that he's receiving messages from all around the world. They're all saying the same thing, which is, we won't be able to breathe until you're able to breathe. And then he said, today we are able to breathe again. Do you think, in your opinion, that this is just a blip, or do you think this is the start of real systemic change?
I think it sets a precedent. And for not only the method of, well, certainly an evidentiary precedent. So if we have it on tape, then there's a chance that this will be prosecuted. The other bridge, and the other person I want to say who doesn't get enough credit, is the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, who's a former congressman who decided to prosecute. So many of these cases never come to trial because an attorney general or a police captain says, well, it was justified. It was justified. His life is in danger. He's a police officer. They failed to cross the thin blue line. And that is what has been crossed. So if we have more people of moral fiber and courage who are willing to accept the difficult challenge of breaching that blue line and saying the police are such a noble profession, we disrespect it when we don't demand justice. We do a disservice when we don't demand fairness and protection of the citizenry. That's the way these people saw it. That's the way they acted. And I think they're going to have a better police force forward. So maybe it sets an example such that other people who make the decisions about whether or not we even get an opportunity to judge will take the chance now, will take the opportunity to say, yes, let's determine whether or not this is just. Let's put it in the hands of the people and not just say, this is how it has to be. It's a beacon of change. It's a point of light on the horizon, and hopefully we'll steer towards it.
Michael, we know it's late there, so we'll let you go, but we really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Gary and Tommy.
Yes, it is. Welcome to Wednesday. If you are just joining us, loads more to come this hour.
Guys, if you've tried Tinder, you've tried Bumble, you've tried Grindr, and you're getting nowhere, I have got the best ever way to pick up next.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why you're wasting money with these apps. Honestly, after this, you'll be like, oh, my God.
The apps are free, mate.
Are they?
I don't know why you're wasting freedom with these apps.
You can tell the last time I've been on one.
When was the last time you were on an app?
That's what I mean. You can tell when you had to pay for them. Have you ever had to pay for them?
Oh, my gosh. When you lie, you crumble.
We'll do it next. It's Gary and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy. Gary and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Wednesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hurry up with your idea.
Filling up the pump.
Chomping at the bit.
Filling up the petrol tank is one of my least favourite things to do.
Is it?
I hate having to fill up with petrol.
What about the smell?
What?
I love the smell of petrol.
No, and when it gets on some of my clothes and stays with me for the day.
I don't think you're filling up petrol. Yeah.
Oh, I think you're meant to fill up your, I think you're meant to fill up your car. Sometimes?
What? Anyway, I don't like it.
Okay.
I find it annoying.
Okay, sure.
I make sure that someone else is in the car when it's empty, so it's not my problem.
Yeah.
But occasionally I get stuck, like I did the other day. I was there in my Ugg boots because I've just started tooling around in my new Ugg boots everywhere.
It's changed my life.
I've given up on life and I've never been happier. And I stood at the petrol pump and I was pumping away, and then I watched as two people were on either side of the pump, pumping at the same time.
Yeah.
And they were kind of looking, no chat happening. They were kind of looking at each other, though.
Eye contact while pumping.
Eye contact while pumping. Mm. So there I was, pumping away. They were pumping. Exactly, old school. And I think the reason...
Looking at each other.
Well, because you can't be looking at your phone because you're at the petrol pump. You know how they say not to use your phone while pumping?
Yes.
So that's what, first of all, that's why I think that it's a good place to pick up because no one's on their phone.
It's a good place to pick up.
Because watch what happened now. So they're just there looking at each other. He's, I reckon, in his early 20s maybe. I had her in her 30s.
Hot.
And they walked into the servo. I don't know. They finished at the same time. And then they walked into
very rarely happens.
When you're pumping.
Yeah.
And they walked into the servo and came back out. I don't know what happened in the servo, but he said, if you ever want to grab dinner, here's my card. And he gave her his business card.
What's a bloke in his 20s doing with a
business
card?
Which blew my mind. I've not seen anyone with a business card in a very long time, let alone a guy in his 20s. He didn't say, like, follow me, or I'm going to use the wrong lingo, but, like, DM me, or here's my handle, or whatever you say.
Here's my handle.
What do you say to people?
I don't know. I reckon after you've pumped together, you probably know most of the stuff anyway.
Exactly. But help me. What do you normally say when you want to, like, follow someone or you want them to find you online?
I don't know
Not
if there's
you,
a term for that.
There must be a term. If you meet someone at a bar,
online,
do you just say, here's my mobile number, or you say DM me at, or here's my...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say any of those things.
You're not being helpful. Jesse, what do you say if you don't want to give a girl your number?
What's your
Instagram? Yeah. There you go. You do
what's
say that?
What's your Instagram? Is that what you say? excuse me, what's your Instagram?
If you don't, if a girl doesn't want to give you their mobile number.
Wouldn't you? Yeah, but if they don't want to give you their mobile number, stop talking to them. Don't they go, okay, fine. What's your Instagram?
Explain why you are single, mate.
But wouldn't you go, can I give you my number?
Okay, whatever. He gave her a business card.
Right.
Rather than using any of that down with it lingo. And I thought,
yes,
what a missed opportunity. I don't know what happened in the survey because there wasn't enough dialogue at the actual pump to warrant a date, I would have thought. Mm. But something obviously lit up when they went inside and paid for their petrol.
Yeah, guys.
But I thought, are people doing this all the time? Is that where people are picking up? While you're wasting money on the apps, there's people picking up at the petrol pump.
Poor people are just spending a fortune on fuel, driving around the block, emptying out their tank, kicking a hole in their
fuel tank. You've got to fill up. It's a thing you have to do anyway. Mm. Imagine if you could fill up and pick up at the same time.
From pump to pump.
From pump to pump. Servo love, pump to pump,
sweet diesel, fill me up.
From pump to pump. I had not heard that little jingle.
I can tell, mate, by the look on your face.
What? It wasn't what I was going for.
Oh, jeez. Jezza don't go on the pots and pans. He gets fed in hot dogs to work for the show. And he works his ass off, and that's
fill
the feed. Okay, don't just say what you're thinking. What do you want to do, Vickers?
From pump to pump. Did you pick up at a petrol pump? Are you still together?
Keep going. You should give five options.
Are you in your early 20s and have a business card? Either options, give me a call.
Are you dating someone 10 years older?
You know, at me on Instagram.
Anyway, down with the lingo.
We got time for more questions.
1060.
We'll take your calls next. It's Carrie and Tommy. Carrie Bickmore. And Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy. Around the country for your Wednesday afternoon, it's Carrie and Tommy. And on 1060, did you go pump to pump?
Watched a guy try and pick up the petrol pump the other day, and he handed over a business card. I reckon he was in his early 20s. Perhaps he was in his 30s and just looked youthful.
Mm.
But I thought it was strange that he had a business card. So we've asked on 1060, are you in your 20s and you carry around a business card? But more than ever, I thought, what are we doing on Bumble and on Tinder and Grindr when we could be just hanging out at the petrol station and picking up?
I didn't know you were on all those apps.
I like to keep my options open.
But did you want to hear from people as well when they had gone from pump to pump?
I
want to
know, have you gone from pump to pump? Servo love, pump to pump, sweet diesel, fill me up. Shakira, did you go from pump to pump?
I did, but not technically pump to pump. We did meet at the petrol station, though, so it was pretty cool. I was there pumping up my tyres. I was on one side of the car with no other cars around me, and when I got to the other side of the car, there was a work truck there. So I was just pumping the passenger side, and this guy walked around, and he had, like, all these snacks in his hand, a packet of beef jerky hanging out of his mouth, and unfortunately he couldn't actually get into the door because I was blocking it. So, yeah, I just kind of, like, looked up and was like, oh, hi, like, sorry. And then, anyway, we just started chatting, and it was kind of like a weird spark instantly. And I actually was talking to him, and I'm in a multi-level marketing business, and I basically tried to recruit him and left him with a flyer. And when he drove
not a business
off,
card,
like,
but a flyer.
Not a flyer. And when he drove off, I was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't get any details. So me, obviously, in that industry, I was like, well, if I usually get some form of details. He doesn't have social media. He had no social media whatsoever. Still to this day does not have any social media, and basically, yeah, he drove off and I was like, okay. And then 3 days
has
later.
Has he spoken in your relationship together?
Pardon?
I said a way to get to a man's heart is through their beef jerky, which you have learnt very well. Good on you, Shakira. Thank you. Let's go to Connor. G'day, Connor.
G'day, guys. How are we doing?
Mate, pretty good. Did you go from pump to pump?
I didn't, but I'm in my 20s and I have business cards.
Ooh.
What do you do, Connor?
I'll keep it in your jock a bit more. Sorry. Connor, what do you do?
The short rundown of it is I run my own business doing garage doors.
And that'll have its ups and downs. I'm sorry.
My gosh.
I'm so sorry, mate. I'm so sorry.
Is there, what do people do now if they have businesses and they don't have business cards? Is there other ways that people like market themselves? Connor?
There are. There's these like new QR codes that you can get made and printed so that when people scan them, it links them automatically to your Facebook, your Instagram, everything like that automatically.
I'm a
bit of a traditionalist. I like to have my name and number on a card to give to clients, but I have in the past given them to prospective mates, I guess you could say.
So people that don't need doors necessarily.
No, but, it has worked. I think it takes a little bit of the social pressure off standing there having that conversation of, hey, can I have your number?
Yeah.
That's good. Well, that was good. I mean, I've been sitting on mine for about a minute now. Now, go back to him. Connor, you've obviously never gone from pump to pump, but have you gone from port to pork?
What?
Carport. Doesn't matter. Let's go.
Carport.
Glad we went. Yeah, that's what he does.
Garage doors.
Yeah, carports.
Yeah, port.
Hang on.
Port.
Connor, do you do carports?
Garage doors.
Do you do carport doors?
Oh, Connor.
Has Connor wrapped us up?
Yeah. Yep. Martha, are you there?
Yes.
Martha, I'm so sorry.
Connor's wrapped us up. Jakira's still talking. What have you got for us,
Martha? So I've had a few sparks fly at the petrol pump, but I was going to say another great place to pick up is at the traffic lights. So I've had a lot of luck there where you're just kind of waiting on a red. You pull up next to another car, whether it be, you know, Toyota Corolla or Beamer, but you hold the eye contact for a couple of seconds. And, yeah, a few times I've had people, like, wind the window down and ask for my number.
I've been wondering why I've been winning all these drag races.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Your Wednesday afternoon across the country, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I can't say it. I can't.
Well, say it. It's a great tease.
Guys, if you are listening, you want to stick around because up next, live on air, we are going to chat to a bird.
From overseas.
Don't add that bit, mate.
Specifically, Birds of Tokyo.
Is that a bird?
Hey, also, I don't know what is coming
up
later
in the
show.
You're not happy with that, too, so you're going to go.
No, I can just see that it says shapes on the board, and I love shapes. So I'm just wondering, are we eating them? Are we playing with them? Are we drawing them? What are we doing with them?
We're feeding them to a bird from overseas.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home this afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
One of our favourites, Birds of Tokyo, are going to be back on the road as part of Keith Urban's national The Speed of Now Tour 2021. Frontman Ian Kenny joins us now. G'day, Kenny.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you.
Hey, isn't that a nice sentence to be saying? I know you've been doing some shows already, but just saying we're back on the road, isn't that nice?
It really is. I mean, that's the thing that for us, I mean, the fact that we're going out with Keith Urban is huge in itself, but it feels really good in the heart of soul to be back touring again. We haven't been able to tour. We've been able to do kind of spot shows here and there. So the fact that a tour like this is on the horizon, it's a really great thing for music. So super exciting. Huge.
Are you good friends with Keith, or is this a blossoming new relationship?
I hope it's a blossoming new relationship. No, I haven't met the great man. So hopefully once we get on tour, sort of break the ice there. If we get to meet him, that would be fantastic. But look, hey, no holding your breath. We're just going to see how it goes.
Is that the case? Could you go on tour and actually not meet the artist that you're performing with?
Sometimes. It all depends. I mean, you can't really read into it too much. I mean, touring is a pretty hectic world at the best of times. So sometimes we've been on tour and we haven't met, the people you're supporting or touring with. And most of the time you do. John Bon Jovi was an absolute legend. He was super cool. And then who's the other guy? Muse, they were super cool. But we've been on a couple where, I don't know, man, they're just doing their thing and, like, we totally get it. It's totally cool.
Mm. I had friends who I will not name who got to tour with someone, got asked to support someone who they absolutely loved and idolised for a long time, and they, by the end of the tour, still had not met them.
No. Oh, that's so sad. Surely you're knocking on the door at some point saying, please let me in.
Do you reckon that would play with your head? Do you reckon if you're on tour with someone you idolise and you still haven't met them, would you be like, oh, man, have we done something wrong at like the first show? Like, we just blown this. You'd just be like, oh, what have we done? They hate us.
I really want to know who it was.
Well, I also really, really like the idea of if that person was just being very funny, if someone went, hey, this band idolised you, this went, nah, make them wait.
Yeah, I'll make them sweat it. Yeah, yeah. Sweat it out. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, say that I watched them side of stage and I decided, nah.
How do you guys tour? Like, are you, you know, we were joking before because at the start of this interview I was eating avocado on Corn Thins, which is very un-rock and roll. But are you a bit old school rock and roll when you get a chance to hit the road, or are you quite boring? No, I mean, boring is in like, you know.
Like you.
Yes.
No, I think we choose our moments to enjoy ourselves. I mean, a lot of the time we try and play it a bit smarter these days only because we got our asses kicked when we were younger and we literally, you learn how to do it better, you know what I mean?
This is, as you said, we hope this is a blossoming relationship with Keith Urban, and this pairing makes sense. But have you ever been asked to play at gigs where you're just like, how and why did you think Birds of Tokyo is what this needed?
Yeah, we've had a few of those along the way. As an example, like they're a corporate show that you get asked to do and it kind of works and it just, I guess, honestly, the fee makes sense. You're like, cool, that's it. That's a payday. But you go into these rooms and let's say...
The fee makes sense. I love the wording. It makes sense.
Yeah. And let's say they're for accountants or something like that. Accountants. You go into these ballrooms or something and they all just sit there and they're kind of like eating their steak and fish and we're loud as hell and they're looking at us going, why are you here? And we're like, we don't know. We got paid to be here.
The fee made sense. That's all we know, guys.
Yeah. It's like, all right, cool. Yeah.
How have you got? I know that you've been, as far as lockdown goes, in one of the most beautiful parts of the world, down south in WA, for the last bit. But how's your last 12 months been?
Been like this.
Oh, sunny's on.
Dark glasses going on.
Really?
A semi-Hawaiian shirt on. You're a prick.
No, we've been very, very lucky down here. It's been pretty cruisy. I think the whole COVID thing for a lot of the boys in the band has been a double-edged sword. It's been a great time for us to spend time at home with our families. We haven't had a break like this in about 13 years. But then again, we've really, really missed it. And this Keith Urban tour, which is awesome. We had no idea that our return to touring would be on a tour like with Keith Urban. Like, these are arena, like stadium shows. So it's going to be sick. Yeah, we're psyched.
Well, we are so excited for you. We can't wait to see you again. Keith Urban's National The Speed of Now Tour 2021 with special guests, the Birds of Tokyo, kicks off December 1. Tickets are on sale now at keithurban.com. Ian Kenny from Birds of Tokyo. Mate, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, pleasure's mine. Thanks, guys.
Fingers crossed you meet him.
Yeah, sure.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country this afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because yesterday you brought us confusing facts about how much of each specific food you needed to eat for it to kill you.
Yeah, 15 bottles of water, you'll drown your body.
Yes.
And apparently, according to TikTok, no medical experts.
How many tins of baked beans?
Oh, something like 17.
17 is correct. Yes. How many? What other ones?
Let's not redo the break.
29 packets of biscuits.
Catch it on the podcast if you're fascinated to know how many biscuits will kill you.
Well, Jesse just said 29 packets.
29, there you go.
Yeah, but how many biscuits in a packet, guys?
Well, I thought I would bring you some equally confusing food facts today. Ice cream over in Italy. Why do you reckon? I was going to say, why do you reckon it's controversial? I've just told you off here. Yeah.
This is controversial, though. It's outraged me.
I didn't know they were doing it.
I'm fascinating if they do it in Australia.
You know what the cheeky Italians are doing? They're pumping their ice cream full of air to make it fluffier.
Which I don't really understand.
It says ice cream has always been famous over in Italy, along with pizza and pasta.
Gelato?
You go.
Oh.
Yes.
That's what
Guess
you
what?
To most
Guess what you're eating mostly with your gelato?
Air.
Air. Some brands are known to pump up to 80% of the product full of air.
So it's just bubbly. Is it?
It's air.
No, I know you keep saying it's air, but what's the difference between when
I'm short of breath, suck on an ice
when
cream.
When I'm licking an ice cream that has 80% air versus doesn't, is it just feel more solid?
Yeah, one's got a bit more air in it.
But shouldn't it be creamy?
Yeah.
Airy, creamy. Do they do it in Australia, I wonder?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got those facts, mate. I'm just purely Italian-based
food.
Someone
fact-checked whether there's air in ice cream in Australia?
The brass, the knuckleheads over in Italy have stepped in and said there needs to be a minimum amount of air, and that is going to be 30%.
I guess because it's like whipping cream. You'd whip the ice cream, which brings air into it.
They just whip the buggery
out. So there is a minimum, and they want to keep that as law now, that you can only have the minimum amount.
30%, yes.
Gosh, cheeky buggers, 80%.
It was like when I heard in Russia that something wasn't considered alcoholic till it was something like 20%.
Alcohol? Yeah. That would make sense in Russia.
And so beers like weren't considered alcohol, so anybody could sell them in the street and stuff like that.
Yeah, Macca's or something.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Isn't that great?
I'm a McFlurry and a Heineken.
And I know you asked for some Australian food facts in your McFlurry. That'd be mostly air, by the way.
Yes.
food facts. I do have a bit of Australian food stuff for you. So I don't know if you know, but shapes at the moment, there seems to be 1,000 different flavours, new flavours.
Are you getting kickbacks for this?
I'm not. They're all reduced to clear at my supermarket, so I don't reckon they're going that well. Some of the flavours... delicious.
I thought I saw a Vegemite one. Is that one of their new flavours?
Damn it, that was going to be my idea. I didn't see Vegemite
and
cheese.
Oh, maybe I've made that up. I feel like there's a Vegemite-flavoured shape out.
Some of them are called Aussie Legends, and that was going to be my idea. Anyway, right. I'll think of a new end of the segment on the fly. Don't worry. But Eli, so I had a chicken parma one, and it was delicious. Oh. Eli, what did you have?
Triple cheese toasty.
And what did you think?
Loved it. I honestly didn't think I would because I never stray from the originals.
Like ham and cheese flavour? Is that what the triple cheese toasty is? Is there ham in there or just cheese?
Just cheese.
Because
hence why it's called a triple cheese toasty, not a triple cheese ham and cheese.
I didn't want to point it out, man. I'm going to hand you over this packet.
What's this?
I just want you to try
it. Guess what the flavour is.
Guess what the flavour is and tell us whether you love it or not.
Okay.
Now, going in the mouth.
Oh.
Doesn't it? Isn't your first...
That's a Big Mac That's a Big Mac shape.
Isn't your first taste vomit, though?
Yeah.
It's disgusting. 100%.
It tastes like the aioli in the Big Macs.
So there was a meat pie one as well, and that was disgusting.
What is this?
So you've said Big Mac.
With the aioli in it.
What you're tasting right there is double cheeseburger.
Oh, not bad. Yeah, well done. Not bad. Did you know you can buy at the supermarket? I went to a friend's house for dinner the other night and they served me burgers. Really nothing fancy, just a burger from the barbecue. And I was eating it going, oh, my God, this is the most amazing thing I've ever eaten. And he said, it's because I bought the special sauce, a special aioli that tastes like the Big Mac aioli.
Burger sauce? I think it's literally called burger sauce.
Well, I've looked everywhere and I can't find burger sauce.
Is it because you've been looking for special aioli?
maybe I've been in the wrong department. The wrong aisle.
Anyway, here's where I was going to pitch my Vegemite and cheese idea.
Oh, what a great idea, Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Wednesday afternoon, and the time game is back a little bit later on.
Oh, I am going to be sticking around for that, but because right now, something which I think will really tickle your fancy. What does that make you think of?
Game of Thrones.
Bang on.
I've only watched 4 eps, but...
Maybe won't be as into this as I thought then.
It was just very hectic and I couldn't keep up. I had to keep Googling all the families.
I'm going to pretend I've ignored that. I've got a list of the richest people from the Game of Thrones cast.
That's very specific.
Yes. I thought you were a big Game of Thrones fan. Coming in number 10, we have Gwendoline Christie. She played, of course,
I don't know.
Brienne of Tarth. She's worth £3.8 million. Up next, we have Maisie Williams. She played...
No idea.
Arya Stark. Arya Stark is, of course...
Yep.
Okay. She is worth £4.4 million. Have a guess who's
Where's
next.
Where's the hot one?
They're all gorgeous.
There's two hot
gorgeous.
Ones. The
Khal Drogo.
No, Dothraki.
Dothraki. Emilia Clarke, do you mean?
No, the guy.
Yeah, the Dothraki. That's Khal Drogo. Yes. Played by Jason Momoa, who went on to be Aquaman. He is in at number 4.
And what about the one that my friend looks like? Snow.
Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Kit Harington. He comes in at number six.
Oh, he is that worth, far down.
Yes, he reportedly got the most per episode at £360,000 per episode. Mm. But you want to know who comes in
Did
at number one?
Did I show you my friend who looks like him?
I care as much about that as you care about this list.
He looks a lot like him. Okay. We should do a side-by-side on our Insta. I'm going to find a photo of him and prove to everybody how much he looks
just
like.
Let me tell you about the number one.
You keep chatting. I'm going to Google.
Well, I was trying. The number one richest person on the list. Can I guess who that is? Sean Bean, who played Ned Stark and was only in the first series. Fascinating stuff, isn't it, Pickers?
Yes.
Stay tuned for more interesting facts later in the show.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home this afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
There is nothing better than breaking world records.
Oh.
I should know. I've broken one.
Oh, the hugs?
Yeah, most hugs in a minute.
But you lost that record.
I did, but I had it for a period of time, and it was a great feeling, just as good a feeling, I'm sure, as for Ryan Pomeroy, who joins us now from the Gold Coast. He is now a world record holder for walking the most dogs simultaneously, and he joins us now. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Mate, I mean, we're good, but we haven't got a world record. How many dogs did you have to walk simultaneously?
I ended up finishing with 55.
That is
I've got a picture here of you. You are walking with 55 leashes attached to harnesses on your body. How did they all behave? How was the wrangling involved in that kilometer walk?
Look, they were pretty good actually. We only had a couple of little disagreements, but you know, that was rectified pretty quick. The main drama that we had was my leash setup wasn't quite up to scratch. You know, some of the dogs were walking over leads and we had a couple of tangles, which wasn't ideal.
No.
What was it like? What were you leaving in your wake, Ryan? Was it just a steady stream of dog turds? I can't imagine one man could pick up 55 dogs worth of turds.
No, look, I definitely didn't have the time to be going back and picking that. I was lucky enough that just at the start, only one decided that he needed to go, and I wasn't slowing down for him, so he done it on the run.
You're lucky that didn't set off a chain reaction. Ryan, why did you settle on the number? Because I've read here that the previous record was held by another Aussie, a professional dog trainer, but it was only 36.
Yep.
Why didn't you go for 37? Why did you decide to smash it out of the water?
Look, to be honest, I'm a bit of a peacock, and I like to, you know,
what, the
do
bloke
things.
With 55 dogs? No way.
yeah, no, believe it or not, yeah. Okay. So, look, I like to, you know, I wanted to blow, originally I had my hands on 72 dogs. I was going to try and double the world record, but I had quite a few dogs not show up on the day. And
oh, how dare they, Ryan? Passed.
Yes.
Oh, I hate to question you, but as a fellow world record holder, I need to understand.
Mate, she had the worst world record.
I
Ryan.
Didn't.
Don't
for,
be threatened.
For a couple of years, I had the
you
most
aggressively
hugs in a minute.
Backslapped people.
Okay, but what
it was
I know
the worst hug ever. People left with bruises. You
what
so
I know
hard.
Was it officially passed the book, the test? Because they're very fussy. That the
it was,
to,
it
someone
was not.
Has,
so
what?
So
what
I
do
failed.
You mean it was not? Oh, you failed.
So, yes, it was. It's an unofficial record. So because I had the tangles, like I said.
Yes, I'm listening, Ryan. Leave because
I thought we were talking to a world record holder. We're talking to an unofficial world record holder.
Get out of it, Bickmore. Sorry, Ryan. I'm so sorry. You've got my focus, mate. Yes, so the tangle. Tell us about the tangle.
Because of the tangles and for the dog's safety, I had to have someone come and intervene and remove two dogs because they were tangled up. So because of that intervention, it rendered the record invalid. So,
but Ryan, I was kind of glad because I noticed, and I wasn't going to bring it up because unlike Bickmore, I didn't want to be the bearer of bad news. But I saw that you did start with 57 and end with 55 dogs. So I assumed two of them got hit by cars, and I was not going to mention
it. Stop.
That's why I didn't mention it, mate. So I'm happy to hear that they just got removed from the pack and got tangled.
Yeah, that's it. The dog safety was paramount, so we got in there and we moved them and. You know, I kept going anyway. I wasn't going to stop halfway and go, well, that's it. We're done now. I still walked the 55 for the 1K. Yep. And
good on you.
And I'm going to make it my mission, Ryan. I don't know how. I don't have any dogs. But I'm going to make it my mission to get you that world record. You deserve that, mate. I'm all on
Thank
board.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When are you going to have another crack?
In, I reckon 12 months. I'll give it a year and I'll go back to the drawing board and I'll really plan it well and proper next time around and get it 100%.
Mate, we can't wait to chat to you then. Ryan Pomeroy, thanks, mate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Isn't a Pomeroy a dog? type of dog?
Pomeranian.
Pomeranian. That's funny, though, that your name's Pomeroy. It was quite like Pomeranian. Good chat.
Thanks, Ryan.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.